Well, welcome everyone. This is Duke Clark, and this is my podcast for Stories for Joshua. We are on day 12, and today I'm continuing from yesterday on Sunday trip to the beach. So this is part two. I left you yesterday with some geography lessons and the kicking machine. I heard from several of you that you've been there and, quote, got the boot, which is pretty funny to me. Fort Macon Beach was perfect. White sand, sometimes hot as the dickens, as they say, beautiful waves, and emerald water. You could walk about 30 yards out and still be waist high or chest high, depending on what the tide was, and then it would gradually drop off. So it was a great area for body surfing, for just bouncing in the waves, and for being out there. It was really a great place. The waves were actually fabulous, or at least that's what I remember. No one used a surfboard in those days, but we did a lot of body surfing. We learned how to do it quite well and go all the way up on the beach. We were like beached whales. We'd jump on a wave, swim as hard as we could, get in front of the wave, and the wave would push us all the way up until our chest hit the beach, and we'd be in the sand there. As the high tide would come in, the waves would be pounding, which meant also undertow, very strong undertow. North Carolina beaches are well known for their riptides, which is an undertow that can pull you out into deep water. Now, if it happens, and it never did to me, thank God, you have to let it carry you out and then swim parallel to the coast until you get out of the riptide or the rip current, and then you can go back to shore. If you try to fight it, you just will not win. Sometimes, mostly at Nag's Head or Kitty Hawk, they have to put up a red flag, which means that nobody's supposed to go in because the riptides are way too bad. When we would get to the beach, my parents would say that we had just had lunch and that we had to wait an hour before we went into the water. That was the longest hour in the world. I think they just wanted to do it so they could take a nap and didn't have to watch us when we were in the water. Debbie and I had been able to swim as long as I could remember, but the ocean is no place to mess around. You could get in trouble very quickly, and you don't take chances with the ocean. So somebody was always with us in the water. In the late afternoon, we would start to pack up. We almost always got sunburned, even with lotion on, but we didn't care. There was a bathhouse there that was ancient as far as I was concerned. Men on one side, women on the other side, obviously. But the shower part, where you went in to take a shower and wash the sand off, was open to the sky. No roof. It seemed awkward to me because I just was not used to taking showers openly with a bunch of men in the same room, because I was only, I don't know, 8, 9, 10, 12 years old. I can't remember exactly. So it was pretty awkward. And then when you got out of the shower, you'd go to the benches where you had your clothes, and the floor, the old ancient floor, still had like an inch of water on it. So I don't know. It was kind of gross as far as I was concerned. Sometimes we would leave the bathhouse and we would go to the old fort, Fort Macon, which was pretty cool. It was a Civil War fort that guarded the mouth of the inlet that went into Morehead City, at the end of the sandbar there where the beach was. The extra cool thing was that they had dug down into the sandbar so that the upper level of the fort, where the cannons were, was almost at ground level, protecting that opening that that was probably the only deep water bay in the area, where ships could come in and dock in Morehead City. So from the sea, I'm not even sure if you could see the cannons until they fired. So I'm sure it was a strategic place for that day and time. So because of this, those Yankees, as us Southerners call them, came down and took it over during the Civil War. There were Southern soldier uniforms also there in the fort, and they looked like they could fit me in my size. They looked like little boy clothes, but that's the size of the soldiers back then, I guess. But it was a real fort, and it was a very cool place to visit. Leaving the beach was a pain. It only got worse over the years. One way in and one way out with only two lanes, so it took a long time. Maybe that's why we went to the fort, to wait for people to leave so it wouldn't be so bad getting out. In later years, after Daddy was gone and I was in high school and college, I would go down to the beach, listen to great music, dance, party with friends, and probably do things that I shouldn't have. We even had our own genre of music called, quote, beach music. And that's, of course, that would make sense, being down there at the beach. But great groups like the Embers, the Tams, the Drifters. These were all groups, or anyone that could play music like them and copy them, would play, and then we would dance. And how would we dance? It's called a Carolina Shag. Look it up on YouTube. It's a real thing. Great way to dance. Great way to just enjoy life. The beach was a great place for me growing up. Later, I took my family to the Outer Banks around Duck, North Carolina, so that I could share that beach experience with them. I live in Colorado now, and I love these mountains here, but I really would like to get back to the beach at some point. Just the smell of the air, to climb the sand dunes, to see sea otters, the inland waterways, and to walk the shore as the waves wash up either at sunset or sunrise didn't make a difference. It really wouldn't matter because they were both beautiful. Well, that's my experience at the beach. I hope you get to go there sometime because you would really enjoy it. The beach in Carolina can't be beat. So until tomorrow, have a great day, and I'll talk to you later.